Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Moses was taking care of the flock for his father-in-law, Jethro, Midian's priest. He led the flock out to the edge of the desert, and he came to God's mountain called Horeb. The Lord's messenger appeared to him in a flame of fire in the middle of a bush. Now, Moses saw that the bush was in flames, but it didn't burn up. And so Moses said to himself, "Let me turn aside and check out this amazing sight to find out why this bush isn't burning up." When the Lord saw that Moses was coming to look, God called to him out of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." Moses said, "Here I am." Then the Lord said, "Don't come any closer, and take off your sandals, because you are standing on holy ground." Friends, this is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. And so now, gracious God, in this moment, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts together in this sacred space be found pleasing to you. O Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There's a great scene in the movie Lady Bird when high school senior Christine McPherson is meeting with one of the nuns in her Catholic high school to discuss her college entrance essay, which is all about growing up in the city of Sacramento. Now, the truth is that Christine can't wait to get out of Sacramento, which seems so boring and lifeless to her. So she's applying to colleges across the country to try to get away to a place where she feels like she can live a more significant life. But after reading her essay, Sister Sarah Jones says to her, "You clearly love Sacramento, Christine." And she replies, "I do." And the nun says, "Well, of course you do. You write about Sacramento so affectionately and with such care." "I was just describing it," Christine says, brushing it off. "Well, it comes across as love," Sister Sarah Jones insists. Until finally, Christine admits, "Sure, I guess I pay attention to things here." And the nun's response seems to be as much for those of us who are watching the movie as it is for the strong-willed 18-year-old in her office. She says, "Don't you think that maybe they are the same thing? Love and attention?" Of course, the irony of the movie is that it's not until the strong-willed 18-year-old goes off to college in New York that she's able to realize just how much she really does love her home of Sacramento after all. And so perhaps the nun is right that falling in love and paying attention really are more alike than we realize. For instance, just ask any new parents in the room what they do in their first few months of having a baby. Jesse and Esther, I'm looking at you all back there. They pay attention. They can't stop paying attention to every little coo, every grin, every cry, every sound that their newborn babies make. Or think about the time that you first moved into your house or apartment or the place that you would call home, and suddenly you begin to notice all these unique features of this space. I can tell you, I never paid such close attention to paint colors and window shades and light fixtures until I moved into my first house. And suddenly all of these things became so important to me, because suddenly I was paying attention to them. Or think about the last time you had a crush on someone. In those early ages of your crush, maybe in high school, you pay such close attention to that person's schedule so that you just happen to bump into them in the hallway after their class one day. Did no one else ever do that? Or maybe at the beginning of a new relationship, as you get to know the person more, you begin to pay attention to what makes them tick, what they like and don't like, what gets on their nerves. You learn their favorite foods so that after some time, you can already guess what they might order at a restaurant. As time goes on, you can tell by the look on her face exactly what kind of day she's had. Or you can tell by a couple of words in a text message, maybe for some of the millennials in the room, whether or not there is a period at the end of those few words. You can tell exactly what's going on. Sometimes you know exactly what they're going to say even before they say it. Or you know right when you've found the perfect gift for them that they will just love, all because you've been paying attention. Of course, if they get you a gift that you don't love, it might actually offend them, because why in the world would they think you would like something like that? Do you know me at all? Have you not been paying attention? But I believe that paying attention is an important marker in our spiritual lives, too. In fact, it is some of the most important spiritual work that you and I could ever do, and no one else can do it for us. Perhaps that's why poet Mary Oliver writes the instructions for living a life: pay attention, be astonished, tell about it. As we look at this text in Exodus 3 this morning, one of the first things that immediately stands out to me is that Moses is paying attention. The text says that when Moses first sees this burning bush in the wilderness, he actually turns aside from where he is to get a closer look. Which makes me wonder, what would have happened if Moses hadn't turned aside that day? What if he had been so distracted taking care of all of these sheep, or so troubled by everything that had happened to him recently, that he is a fugitive and Pharaoh wants to kill him, so he's hiding with his family in his father-in-law's house? What if he'd been so consumed by all of that they hadn't even noticed this bush burning in the distance? Or what if he had noticed but thought to himself, I've got way too much going on to go look at a bush on the side of the road. I'm going to do my morning's work. We wouldn't blame him, would we? But Moses doesn't do that. For some reason, he stops. He turns aside and he takes a closer look. And it's only when he turns aside, only when he stops and pays attention, that he hears God's voice. And God says, Moses, do not come any closer, and take off your shoes, buddy, because you are standing on holy ground. You know, I'd never thought about this in previous readings, but this time I began to wonder what it is that sets apart this particular space as holy ground. I mean, Moses is in the wilderness, taking care of his sheep, doing the same thing he does day after day after day. There isn't anything we can see that would make this a holy site. And for that matter, where does this holy ground start exactly? Is it everything that's within a 6-foot radius of the bush? Is it further out? Is it closer in? Or is it the fact that when Moses is paying attention, when he turns aside, that's when he's standing on holy ground? That's when God shows up. That's when God calls out to him and tells him, you are in a sacred space. It's a reminder for us that God shows up in all kinds of places, through all different people, and in all sorts of surprising ways. Perhaps what designates a space as holy is just that. It's a space where God shows up if you and I are paying attention. When we began dreaming together about this month's capital campaign, we gathered together a focus group and we asked them to tell us why Highland? What makes this space, this community so significant to you? Because the reality is that many of us drive past quite a few other churches on our way to Highland. Some of you drive over an hour to get here from different parts of Kentucky, from across the river in Indiana. And so we asked why. Why here? Why this space, this community of people? One person talked about how Highland has created a safe space for them, for others within the LGBTQ community to be themselves, just as God created them to be. One couple talked about how over time, Highland had been a space of healing for them in a particularly difficult season of their lives. And they said that these pews and these songs and this community held space for them and with them week after week, reminding them that they were not alone. Another person shared how Highland had nurtured a brave space for them to go out and do the hard and holy work of justice and love that God was calling them to do in the world. Another that Highland had been a space for them of radical welcome and hospitality. And no, it certainly wasn't perfect or without its flaws, but it was unlike any other faith community they had ever experienced before. One by one, they talked about what makes this space, this community, sacred to them. Because Highland is a space where for over 125 years now, God keeps showing up. And so throughout this month's Sacred Space campaign, we are going to be asking you to pay attention, like Mary Oliver says, to pay attention, to be astonished, and to tell about it. Because we want to highlight and share these stories with one another about the ways we have found holy ground here. About the ways that Highland has held space for us. And ultimately, we want to ask ourselves how God is inviting us to give back so that others, so that more and more people and generations might encounter the kind of unique space that they need in their life's journeys too. Pay attention, be astonished, and tell about it. Literally, I want you to share your stories and your pictures on social media with each other. You can post them using the hashtag #SacredSpaceForEveryone. It'll be plastered all over the church, so you'll never forget it. Don't worry about that. You can send stories to us via email, and we'll share them in the church newsletter, too. Because that's the thing about sacred spaces, whether they are places of worship or the wilderness and nature or anywhere in between, they catch our attention. They help us to stop and slow down a bit. Sometimes they just take our breath away. They call us to be present, to be astonished, and to be more fully aware of the ways that the Holy One is already and always in our midst. In 1973, two social psychologists, John Darley and Daniel Batson, recruited a group of Princeton Seminary students, and they asked them to participate in a study on religious education. Now, the students each completed surveys about their own religious beliefs in a classroom at their seminary, and then they were told to go to a nearby building and to give a sermon on the Good Samaritan story from Scripture. But what these students didn't know was that an individual who was part of this experiment was positioned in the alleyway between the seminary and the building where they were supposed to go deliver their sermon. This person was slumped over on the ground, looking very disheveled. They moaned as if they were in pain, cried out, and coughed twice as each young seminary student passed by. What the seminary students also didn't know is that this study actually had nothing to do with religious education or the ability to preach a sermon on the Good Samaritan. Instead, this was a study to see if they could live like the Good Samaritan. This was, in fact, a study to look at helping behavior. The variable was that each group of students was given different amounts of time before their sermon was set to be delivered. Some had plenty of time to spare, some were right on time, and some were told that they were already running late and needed to hurry to make it in time. But the results were pretty difficult to swallow. Overall, regardless of their time constraints, only 40% of seminarians stopped to offer any sort of help. That means that 60% of these students training to be pastors and ministers either didn't notice that the man was there or they noticed and didn't stop. Of those who were in a hurry, only 10% even stopped to ask if the man needed anything. In fact, several of the students literally stepped over the man on their way to the next building. And their level of religiosity didn't seem to have any sort of impact on whether they stopped to help or not. The only metric that made any sort of difference at all was their time and their ability to pay attention. Of those who had time to spare, 60% at least stopped to do something. Now, all this makes me wonder what you or I would have done and if we would have done any differently. I get that at this point you may be wondering why I'm telling a story about an experiment of the Good Samaritan and a sermon about Moses and the burning bush. But the truth is that both of these stories within Scripture call us to be people who pay attention in God's world, to be mindful of sacred opportunities that are all around us all the time. And they both remind us of what we might be missing out on when we fail to turn aside and to take a closer look. Now, I'm going to make a connection here that I want to name. It's kind of awkward and kind of cheesy, but I also think it works. So stick with me, and you can tell me afterwards if that was really cheesy. Because the reality is that this community of faith, this space that means so much to us, needs our help. The very thing that we have been rushing past, stepping over, avoiding, kicking down to a later time, failing to stop and pay attention to, is right in front of us too. And it's time for us to turn aside and take a closer look. Highlands HVAC, our heating, yes, okay, see, it was cheesy, yeah, okay. Our heating, ventilation, and cooling system has been crying out for help for years now, y'all. And it served us well, with most of the original parts still intact from its installation in 1954. But that was almost 70 years ago. We know, and we have known, that this system has needed a complete overhaul, and yet we've kept walking on by. We have kept pushing that work down the road, and honestly, with good intentions about far more desirable and exciting projects than the life of the church. But the time has come, and really the time has passed, when we can't ignore it anymore. We can't afford to put a Band-Aid on it and to keep walking on by. I wish I could explain to you the sick feeling I get in my stomach on the days when I come into the office and Walter tells me, hey, we're going to need to spend $2,000, or $8,000 or $12,000 to fix another part of our beloved boiler that is no longer working. Because this is money that we could be spending on so much better, kingdom building, justice bringing things that will endure much longer in God's world than any HVAC system ever will. This is the desire and heart of who Highland is and why we do what we do. And so it's on us, on all of us, to turn aside, to pay attention, and to care for our sacred space so that Highland can continue joining the work of God, creating a world where justice and love are abundant. Elizabeth Barrett Browning once wrote, "Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only she who sees takes off her shoes. The rest sit around and pluck blackberries and dab their faces unaware." Friends, let's take off our shoes and be astonished. And let's tell about it, and let's give our whole selves toward it. For we are standing on holy ground. Amen.